This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayesara, and we are going to focus our shiur in chapter 24, where Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak, and Eliezer gets to the well in that same day, and he makes the test that if the girl will come out and she'll say, I will give you to drink and also to your camels to drink, that is the girl that is suitable for Yitzchak. Our matriarch Rivka comes out at that moment and she goes to the well, and Eliezer sees that the water of the well raises up to greet her, and she says exactly what Eliezer said, that she will give him to drink and also to the camels. Eliezer realizes that this is a girl suitable to Yitzchak. Eliezer then asks what family is she from, and she says that she is the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, that was born to Nachor, meaning that she is a relative of Avraham Avinu. Eliezer says, blessed be Hashem who has not forsaken his kindness from Avraham Avinu, because Eliezer realizes now that Hashem has guided him and has made him successful. Rivka runs and tells his family, and Rivka has a brother who is called Lavan. He comes out to greet Eliezer, and he invites Eliezer to come inside and for a meal. According to Rashi in the Midrash, they put poison in the food of Eliezer, and according to the simple interpretation, the reason they did that is because they wanted to kill Eliezer and take the wealth that he brought for themselves. And on Pasuk number 33, Eliezer says, Lo yoichal, I will not eat ad ayim dibarti dvorai, until I finish saying my words. And they tell him to say his words. Eliezer starts by saying that Eved Avraham Anoichi, I'm the slave of Avraham Avinu. The Gemara brings down in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Beis Omed Beis 92b, that Omar Le Rava Rabba Bar Meri. Rava says to Rabba Bar Meri, Menoha Milsa, how do you know this saying? The Omar Yinsha that people say, Milsa Genoa De Izbach Kodim Amra, that if you have a shameful thing in you, you should always say it first, meaning don't wait till people throw it in your face. If something is bad in you, say it first before people have a chance to confront you with it, before people have a chance to throw it in your face. Omar Lei, Rabbi Amar Meri answers, Dichsiv, because it's written in our Pasuk, Bayoimer Evet Avram Anoichi, I am the servant of Avram Avinu. Meaning that nobody is asking who he is, he didn't have to say it. But since it was a shameful thing, he didn't want people to find out later what it was. So it's better to say it first before people throw it in your face. And therefore Eliezer said that he's the servant of Avraham Avinu. Other Mefarshim explain, since on chapter 24, Pasuk number 2, it's written, Vayomer Avraham el Avdoi, Avraham said to his servant, Zekan Beisoi, the elder of his house, but the Yalkut Shimoni brings down that Zekam Beisoi means that Zive Kunim Sheloi Doimeloi, the looks of Eliezer Evet Avram was the same look as Avram Avinu, meaning that they look the same. Therefore, Mefarshim explained that Eliezer wanted to dispel the belief that people may think that he is in fact Avram Avinu. Therefore, he started by saying, Evet Avram Anoichi, I am not Avram Avinu, I am only the slave and the servant of Avraham Avinu. We'll soon bring another word from Rav Diskin for the reason that he says, Evet Avraham Anoichi, I am the servant of Avraham Avinu. Continuing with the story, Eliezer proceeds to say the whole story, how Avraham Avinu made him swear that he's going to get a girl from his family to Yitzchak, and also he proceeded to tell them about the test that he made, that if the girl will come out and will say that he'll give you to drink and also to the camels, then this is the girl that is good for Yitzchak. After Eliezer finishes telling them the story, then he says to them that if you find the kindness and truth with my master, let me know, meaning if you want to give me Rivka for Yitzchak, let me know of him loy, and if not, I will look for a girl elsewhere, to the right or to the left. On verse number 50, Vayan Lavon Ubesuel, Lavon, the brother of Rivka and Besuel, the father of Rivka, answer, Me Hashem Yotzo Hadavar, from Hashem came out this matter, Loinuchal Daber Elecho Rabotoif, we cannot speak to you neither bad or good. Hine Rivka lefanecha. Rivka is in front of you. Kach valeich. Take her and go. Utehi isha levena donecha kasha dibra Hashem. And she will be a wife to your master's son, meaning to Yitzchak, kasha dibra Hashem, as Hashem had said. Meaning that they clearly agree that Rivka should marry Yitzchak. The Kedushas Levi gives three reasons why Eliezer Evet Avram did not want to eat until he finishes saying what he needs to say. The first reason that he brings is that since we have a rule that a chosn b'yom chuposoy, a chosn when he's going to get married, when he gives the kedushin to the girl, he, the chosn, is not allowed to eat until after the kedushin. The custom is that he fasts, and since Eliezer here was in the place of Yitzchak, therefore Eliezer did everything as Yitzchak would have done, and therefore Eliezer did not want to eat until the Kedushin, until the engagement was accepted, and only after the Kedushin, after the betrothal was accepted, that is when Eliezer ate. Rav Diskin has a whole question on this whole idea that Avraham Avinu would send Eliezer as a shliach, as an agent, to betroth a woman for Yitzchak. And his question is that we have a rule that a Eved Knani, a non-Jewish servant, cannot become a shliach, a messenger for Kiddushin, to betroth somebody. Because the Gemara in Masechtas Gittin, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis 23b, writes down Omar Ravasa Rav Yochanan. Ravasa says, in the name of Rav Yochanan, Eino Evet Nasa Shliach LeKabel Get LeIsho Miyad Bala, that a Evet Knani, a non-Jewish slave, cannot be an agent to receive the bill of divorce for the woman from her husband, because he has no connection to any laws of divorces or betrothal. That means that in the same way that a non-Jewish slave can be an agent for a divorce, he also cannot be an agent to betroth somebody. Then how is it possible that Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer, his slave, to be a shliach, an agent for Kiddushin, for betrothal, for Yitzchak, when a non-Jewish slave cannot be an agent for betrothal? Therefore, Rav Diskin says that Avraham Avinu freed Eliezer on the condition that he finds a woman for Yitzchak. Meaning that since there is a prohibition of freeing a slave, because it's written in the verse in Vayikra chapter 25, verse number 46, Veisnachaltem oisom livnechem acharechem, that you should make sure to inherit them, the slaves, for your children after you, loresh zachuzo, as an inheritance, leolam bohem tavoidu, that you should always work on them, meaning that we have a positive commandment to maintain the status of a slave forever. And if we free a slave, then we transgressed a positive commandment. And the only time we could transgress this positive commandment is if we are making another positive commandment, meaning that if we free a slave because we want to make a minyan for sure, then we are allowed to free the slave. So too, Avraham Avinu said to Eliezer that in case he finds a wife for Yitzchak, since by finding a wife for Yitzchak, then Yitzchak will be able to fulfill the positive commandment of Pru Urvu, or be fruitful and multiply, that in that case, the slave could be freed. Then Rav Diskin says that Avraham Avinu made a condition with Eliezer that if he finds a proper wife for Yitzchak, in that case, he will be freed. And once he's freed, he's able to act as an agent for the betrothal for Yitzchak. Therefore, Rav Diskin says that before Eliezer presents the case of getting a wife for Yitzchak, Eliezer introduces by saying, Evet Avraham Anoichi, I am the slave of Avraham Avinu. Meaning that right now I have the status of being the slave of Avraham Avinu, because I don't know yet if you are going to accept to send Rivka with me or not. But if you do accept to send Rivka with me, then I will lose the status of being the slave of Avraham Avinu, I will become free. In a way, Eliezer is pleading his own case, his own freedom, to Bethuel and Lavan. He's saying that my freedom is conditional to you accepting to send Rivka with me. And therefore he starts by saying, I am the slave of Avraham Avinu. The Kedushas Levi on his second answer says that since Eliezer Eved Avraham knew that Hashem is with him, and he knew that Hashem will make sure that this Kedushin, this act of betrayal, is going to happen, as in fact it happened, that Lavan and Bethuel say, May Hashem Yotza Adavar, that from Hashem came out the thing, meaning that Hashem is the one who designed it, and therefore take Rivka and go. That means that they accepted to the Kedushin. Then this became a Suda's mitzvah, became a Suda of a mitzvah, and therefore Eliezer did not want to eat before from a regular meal. He wanted to make sure that this becomes a meal for a mitzvah. Therefore he said what he needed to say, and then Bethuel and Lavan accepted that Rivka should marry Yitzchak. Then it became a Suda's mitzvah, and therefore Eliezer waited to eat until they accepted the Kedushin, the betrayal. And the third answer that the Kedushas Levi says, that Eliezer suspected that Lavan and Bethuel are going to try to poison him, are going to try to kill him. Therefore Eliezer hoped that by him saying these words, repeating what Avraham Avinu said, which is words of Torah, that in the merit of the words that he spoke, and the merit of the Torah that he's relating to Bethuel and Lavan, in that merit he'll be saved. And the Kedushas Levi says that is in fact what happened, that the merit of the words of Eliezer is what saved him. Because while Eliezer was speaking, an angel came and switched the plate of Eliezer to Bethuel, as Rashi says that Bethuel died at that meal. Mefarshim explained exactly the opposite, meaning Mefarshim explained that Eliezer Eved Avraham saw that they put poison in front of him, but he also saw that the angel switched the poison to Bethuel, and Eliezer Eved Avraham wanted to make sure that this betrayal is a valid betrayal. And since, according to Rashi, Rivka was born at the Akedas Yitzchak, at the binding of Yitzchak, and at that age Yitzchak was 37 years old, and when Yitzchak gets married, he's 40 years old, as it's written in the Torah next Parsha. That means that according to Rashi, Rivka is only 3 years old. That means that Rivka was a minor, and the only one who really has the power to betray a minor is the father. The father has the right to betray his minor daughter. Therefore, Eliezer wanted to make sure that he gets the approval from Bethuel before they sit down to eat a meal, because Eliezer knew that there was poison in Bethuel's food, because the angel had already switched the plate that was put in front of Eliezer to that plate of Bethuel, and therefore Eliezer knew that Bethuel is going to die. Therefore Eliezer wanted to make sure that he gets the approval that Rivka should marry Yitzchak before Bethuel dies, in order to make sure that this is a valid betrothal. The Halacha HaKodesh says that the reason why Eliezer wanted to speak before he eats is because Eliezer knew that there was poison in the plate of Bethuel, and Eliezer deduced that if Bethuel dies before he asks for Rivka's hand in marriage for Yitzchak, then after the death of Bethuel, nobody is going to be in the mood of speaking marriage. Therefore, Eliezer wanted to make sure that he asks for Rivka's hand before Bethuel dies, as in fact happened, and then Bethuel is going to agree that Rivka should marry Yitzchak, and then they will eat and Bethuel will die. And once Bethuel dies, then we have a rule that mitzvah lekayem divrames, that there's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the dead. Therefore, people will be bound by what Bethuel said, that Bethuel agreed that Rivka should be married, and they won't deny Rivka to Yitzchak. Rav Diskin gives another answer of why Eliezer did not want to eat until he said what he needed to say. and he uses an halachic answer for that. Rav Diskin says that Asur lo le'adam lechol lifnei netilas lulav, that on Sukkot you are required to shake the lulav, the four species, and a person is prohibited from eating before he shakes the four species, because he says that any mitzvah that is incumbent on the body of a person, then the person is required to make that mitzvah before he eats. And therefore he explains, since Eliezer had the mitzvah that he became the messenger of Avraham Avinu, and it was incumbent on him to make his mission, therefore he could not eat until he fulfills that mission. So therefore he explains that Eliezer had to first explain why he came to do here, to fulfill the mission, because that was the mitzvah that was incumbent on him, since he actually swore to that, and therefore he couldn't eat until he fulfills that mission. Sefer Gerish Karmel on the Ravid Azov brings another reason why Lavan wanted to poison Eliezer. And his reason is based on the Gemara in Gittin, Dav Samach Dalet, Omed Alev 64a, where the Gemara there says, Omar Rabitzchok says, Ha'oimer Lishluchoy, if somebody tells his agent, Save a Kaddish Li Ishostam, go and betroth me a woman, and he doesn't specify which woman to betroth, Umes Shluchoy, and his agent dies without telling him if he betrothed a woman or not, or which woman he betrothed, then we say, Asur Bechol Anoshim Sheboilam, he is prohibited from marrying any woman in the world. Why? Because we say Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichusoi, we have a presumption that the agent completed his assignment, that means that he betrothed somebody before he died. Therefore, Rashi explains, anybody you want to marry now could be a relative to that woman that was originally betrothed to you by your agent. For example, if mother and daughter are available, you never know, maybe the agent decided to engage the mother, then you are prohibited from marrying the daughter. Or let's say two sisters, maybe one of them was engaged by your messenger for you, then you are prohibited from marrying his sister. Therefore, you are prohibited from marrying any woman in the world. Sefer Gerish Karmel explains that this was Lavan's intention. Lavan knew that Eliezer was sent to get a wife for Yitzchak. Lavan thought that if he kills Eliezer, then automatically Yitzchak won't know who got engaged by Eliezer, and we assume that somebody got engaged. Therefore, Yitzchak cannot marry anybody, and if Yitzchak cannot marry anybody, and Hashem had promised that in Yitzchak is going to be called the Jewish people, then Avraham's influence in the world would stop. Sefer Gerish Karmel interprets this way also what is written in Parshas Kisavoy, chapter 26 of Devarim, verse number 5, that Arami Oivet Avi, that Ramein tried to destroy my father, and what is written in the Agada, that Lavan Bikesh Lakor Esakoil, that Lavan tried to destroy everything. He explains it exactly this way, that since Lavan tried to kill Eliezer, and by killing Eliezer he was going to cause that Yitzchak cannot marry, then it's tantamount that Lavan tried to destroy everything, and that is the meaning of the verse. The Beis Yisrael notes that theoretically here it is not the same as the case of the Gemara, because the Gemara says that if somebody sends his agent and tells him to marry a woman stam without defining from where to marry, then that person cannot marry anybody in the world because we don't know whom she betrothed. But in our case, Avraham Avinu clearly tells Eliezer where to betroth a woman from. He says that betroth a woman from anywhere, preferably from my family, but one thing I don't want you to betroth is a woman from Canaan. Then theoretically, Eliezer fulfilled the mission. That means that Eliezer betrothed a woman from the other places, but clearly Eliezer did not betroth a woman from Canaan. And even if Eliezer dies in the middle of the way, he could still marry a woman from Canaan. Then Sefer Beis Yisrael says that even according to the Sefer Gerish Karmel, Eliezer still has a great choice. He could marry a woman from Canaan, because that was specifically rejected by Avraham Avinu. That means that Eliezer would not bring a woman from Canaan. Then theoretically, Yitzchak could have betrothed a woman from Canaan. Then what do you mean to say that Lavan tried to uproot everything because he would cause Yitzchak not to be able to marry? Clearly, Yitzchak could marry a woman from Canaan. The Beis Yisrael answers that marrying a woman from Canaan is also considered uprooting everything. Because since Avraham Avinu did not want Yitzchak to marry a woman from Canaan, because the character of Canaan is so spoiled that Avraham Avinu was afraid that they are going to corrupt the lineage. Therefore, clearly, if Yitzchak marries a woman from Canaan, that lineage is going to be corrupted. Then it's tantamount of uprooting all the teachings of Avraham Avinu. Then Lavan would still accomplish what he wanted to do by having Yitzchak marry a woman from Canaan. Therefore, the verse that says, Aram Yoy Vetovi, that Aramean tried to destroy my father, applies even if Yitzchak would have married a woman from Canaan. And what's written in the Agada, that Lavan, Bikesh, Lakoir, as a coil that Lavan tried to uproot everything, would have applied spiritually even if Yitzchak is able to marry a woman from Canaan. Meaning that clearly Lavan tried to make sure that Yitzchak does not marry anybody approved by Avraham Avinu by killing Eliezer. And even if Yitzchak marries now a woman from Canaan, that is also considered uprooting everything. We'll soon bring the answer of Rab Heschel in Chanukah Torah, but before we do that, we have to continue in our parsha. We left off that Besuel and Lavan agree to have Rivka marry Yitzchak, and they actually say, Hine Rivka lefonecho kach volech, Rivka is in front of you. Eliezer is very thankful and bows down to Hashem, that Hashem made him successful. Eliezer gives to Rivka and delicacies to her brother and to her mother. It is interesting to note that we don't see Besuel getting anything. And theoretically, Besuel is not dead yet, because this is still before anybody ate anything, because only in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk number 54, it says, Vayoichlu vayishtu hu vanoshim ashrimoy, that he and the people with him ate. That means that here they didn't eat yet. And if they didn't eat yet, Besuel wasn't poisoned yet. Then we have to understand, why didn't Eliezer give anything to Besuel? We could answer very simply that the order of Sukkim are reversed, meaning that they first ate and then Eliezer gave the delicacies for them to eat more in the meal. And at that point, Besuel was already feeling ill because of the poison, and therefore Eliezer did not give him any delicacies. Or we could say a little bit like the Alshach, where the Alshach says that Besuel was insulted that all Eliezer is giving them was delicacies, meaning Besuel thought that Eliezer is going to give him money or huge gifts for agreeing to marry off Rivka to Yitzchak, and when he sees that all he's giving out for the rest of the family is delicacies, he was insulted. And the Alsha continues that this is the reason why Besuel wanted to kill Eliezer, because he thought Eliezer gypped him, that Eliezer is not giving him what is proper given to a father of the bride. Then based on this idea, we could say that Besuel did not want to accept the delicacies. He was insulted and didn't want to accept the delicacies. Therefore, it is not written that Eliezer gave delicacies to Besuel. And according to this idea, we could also answer why in the continuation of the Parsha, where Eliezer asks that he should be given Rivka and he should go back to his master, meaning go back to Avraham, then in verse number 55, Vayoymar Ochia ve'ima, her brother and her mother say, Teshev anaro itonu yomim, let the girl stay with us a year, or 10 months, achar telech, after that she will go. And theoretically, now we have two questions. One question is that originally they said, Hine Rivka lefonecha, behold, Rivka is in front of you, kach voleich, take her and go, which means that they wanted to give Rivka right away. And the second question that Rashi brings is, where is Besuel? the soul is missing from the picture. Rashi answers the second question, and Rashi says that based on the Midrash that we mentioned previously, Besuel wanted to poison Eliezer and the angel came and switched the plate and Besuel died. Therefore, Besuel is out of the picture. But Rashi does not answer the first question, why the change of heart from before? Before they said, Rivka is in front of you, take her and go, which means immediately. And now they say that she should wait a year or 10 months. But according to what we interpreted from the Alshech, we could say that the reason Besuel is out of the picture is because Besuel is trying to renege from his deal. Meaning, originally Besuel said, Rivka is in front of you, kach voleich, take her and go, because Besuel was expecting a huge gift, huge money from Eliezer. Therefore, he was willing to give Rivka away quickly. But now that he sees that Eliezer is not giving him anything, is only giving delicacies, Besuel is having second thoughts, but Besuel knows it's not proper for him to renege on his word. Therefore, Besuel disappears from the picture and lets Lavan and his mother take care and try to stall Eliezer in order maybe to extort more money from Eliezer in order to allow him to take Rivka. That if she stays longer, then they'll able to come up with different plans in a way to take money out of Avraham Avinu in order to be given Rivka to Yitzchak in marriage. And if you are going to ask me that originally Lavan and Besuel said, Hine Rivka lefonecho, kach voleich, Rivka is in front of you, take it and go, then how is it possible that Lavan now is reneging on the deal and saying that she should stay a year or 10 months? And the answer is that Lavan is always working that way. Meaning, Lavan, when he finds a justification for reneging on a deal, he uses that justification to go back on his word. In the same way that he went back on the word when he promised Rachel for Yaakov, because he said that you cannot marry the youngest before the oldest. Here Rashi brings the reason why Lavan said that you should stay a year. Rashi says that since the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin Omed Aleph says that Noisim LeBesulo Shnei Masar Chodesh, that we give for a unmarried woman 12 months in order for her to be able to gather her trousseau and get ready for marriage. Therefore, Lavan found a justification, a halacha, where he could base his argument that he wants to keep Rivka longer there. Therefore, Lavan is not embarrassed to renege on his word since he has that justification. We'll continue with the story after Lavan and his mother tried to keep Rivka there for a year or 10 months. Eliezer tells them that please do not delay me. Hashem had made me successful. Please let me go back to my master. Then Lavan and his mother say, Nikro la naro venishalo espia. Let us ask the girl what she wants to do. Rashi says, Mikan, from here you learn, she'ein masim eso isho elo midato, that you're not allowed to marry a woman only through her knowledge, meaning through her acceptance, that she has to be willing to get married. So we see again that Lavan is arguing that we should ask her because that is the halacha, that is the law. And what happens? Vayikru l'Rivka, and they called Rivka. Vayoyimru eleyo, and they tell her, Atelchi imi shazeh, are you willing to go with this man? Vatoymer elech, and she said, I will go. Rashi adds, me'atzmi on my own, v'af imein charoitzim, even if you don't want. And the Gurari and the Mizrahi explained that since she could have just said, hein, yes, I'm willing to go, and she did the forceful, I will go, that means that I will go anyways. Now we could give the also, now we are going to go back and give the interpretation of the Chanukah Satoire of Rav Heschel. Rav Heschel in Chanukah Satoire says that the story with Besuel, it is not that Besuel put the poison for Eliezer and then an angel came and switched the plates of Eliezer to the plates of Besuel and therefore Besuel died. Rav Heschel says that Lavan purposely poisoned Bezuel, meaning that Lavan was upset that Bezuel agreed to give Rivka in marriage without getting any benefit in return. Therefore, Lavan wanted that Rivka should have an halachic out, meaning, since according to Rashi, Rivka was a katana, was a minor, as we mentioned, she was 3 years old when she got married to Yitzchak, and the halacha is that when a minor gets married by her father, then the marriage is a doraisa, a biblical marriage, because the Torah gives the right for a father to marry off his minor daughter, as we mentioned earlier. But when a minor girl doesn't have a father, she's orphaned, and she gets married by her brother and her mother, then the marriage is not considered a biblical marriage, meaning it's not binding biblically, it's only binding rabbinically. Then this girl has an option when she grows older that she could affirm the wedding, or she could decide that she doesn't want to be married, and then the marriage is annulled. She doesn't even need a bill of divorce because the marriage is viewed as it never was, because it's only a rabbinic enactment that allows a minor girl to be married off by her brother and her mother. And the rabbis did that because the rabbis did not want people to take advantage of this orphan girl. But when she grows older and she says, I am not interested in my husband, or she shows that she doesn't want her husband, then halachically she could void the marriage, and she has the marriage annulled. Sefer Chanukah, the Torah explains that this is the intention of Lavan. Lavan wanted to make sure that if Rivka wants to leave that marriage, she'll be able to do that without any effort, which means that their marriage is not a complete marriage until later. Therefore, Lavan decided that he's going to kill Bezuel, that he's going to put the poison in the plate of Bezuel. Like that, Rivka is going to be an orphan. And if Lavan and his mother marry off Rivka, then it's going to be only a rabbinic wedding. It won't be a biblical wedding. Then Rivka will be able to leave whenever she wants. The Chasam Sofer also asks the question, why did Lavan change his mind? Meaning originally he said, take the girl and go. And now he says that she should stay there a year or 10 months. And then he notes that originally Lavan said, Me Hashem Yotza Davar, from Hashem came this thing, meaning that Hashem is the one agreed, therefore take Rivka and go. And afterwards, after they tried to keep Rivka there for a year or 10 months, Eliezer says almost the same thing. He says, do not delay me, Vashem Itzliach Darki, and Hashem made my way successful. Why does Eliezer have to say that Hashem made his way successful? They themselves realize that Hashem has made his way successful, and is still arguing that Hashem should keep them there, that Rivka should be kept there for a year or 10 months. Then what is the argument of Eliezer to get Rivka to go? The Chasam Sofer answers based on the Rashi in Parshas Vayera, where there, by the story of Sdom, in chapter 19, verse number 24, it says, Vashem himtir al Sdom v'amoira, Hashem made rain on Sdom and Gomorrah, gofris v'esh, sulfur and fire. Rashi brings down that every time it says the word Vashem and Hashem, it means Hashem and his Bezin, meaning it's not only the attribute of kindness of Hashem, it means that the whole heavenly court agreed to destroy Sodom. Then the Chasam Sofer explains that this is the argument of Lavan. Originally, Lavan says, Me Hashem Yotza Adover, from Hashem came this thing. We know that the word Yutke Vavke, Hashem, is the attribute of kindness. Therefore, Lavan was saying, from the attribute of kindness of Hashem came out this shidduch between Rivka and Yitzchak, meaning the attribute of kindness of Hashem agreed to it. And specifically when we see that the whole test of Eliezer to Rivka was a test of kindness, but Lavan was arguing, how do I know that this attribute of kindness is going to remain? Maybe somebody is going to do something wrong and the attribute of kindness is going to be dissolved, then the shidduch won't be good. Therefore, Lavan wanted that she should be there for a year or 10 months and then we'll see if the attribute of kindness is still there. Then he will send her. But if the attribute of kindness is not there, maybe the shidduch is not a proper shidduch. Therefore, Eliezer answers that Vashem itzliach darki. Not only the attribute of kindness is the one that agreed to the shidduch, but the whole heavenly court agreed to the shidduch. That's why it's written Vashem itzliach darki and Hashem. And we mentioned every time it's written the word and Hashem, it means to say that Hashem and the heavenly court. So Eliezer was arguing that there is no need for her to wait here a year or 10 months to see if the attribute of kindness is going to be dissolved or not. This shidduch is going to be a good shidduch because Hashem and the heavenly court agreed to the shidduch. Therefore, Eliezer was arguing, do not delay me because the heavenly court agreed to it. And after hearing that, they said, let's ask the girl, and Rivka agreed to go. In this shiur, we have a lot of different halachas that we say Lavan knew. For example, according to Rashi, Lavan knew the halacha that you give for a person who is unmarried 12 months. Therefore, he asked that Rivka remain there for 12 months. And also, according to Rashi, Lavan knew the halacha that Ein Nosin Isha Elo Midato, that he's not allowed to marry a woman only if she accepts. Therefore, he said, let's ask the girl to see if she wants to go with you to marry Yitzchak or not. And according to the Chanukah Satoira, Lavan knew even more halachas. He knew that if the father marries off a minor daughter, then the marriage is binding and it is a full-fledged biblical wedding where the girl has no out from this wedding. But if the girl is orphaned and she is married off by her brother and her mother, then it becomes a rabbinic wedding. And then when she reaches majority, she could either continue in the marriage or she could annul the marriage. As the Chanukah Sector explains, that this is the reason why Lavan killed Besuel. The Ismach Moshe asks, how does Lavan know all these halachas? Meaning, different Mefarshim say that Lavan acted because of certain halachas, certain rules of Torah. How does Lavan have any idea of any rules of the Torah? Where did he learn them? The Ismach Moshe answers based on the Avos de Rav Nosson, Perek Lamed Gimel, where the Avos de Rav Nosson says that Avraham Avinu knew all the wisdom and the Torah because, as the Mefarshim write down, that the kidneys are sources for smartness, then Avraham Avinu's two kidneys gave him smartness as well, and from that Avraham Avinu was able to know and achieve the whole Torah. And the Ismach Moshe says that when the whole family left Ur Kazdim to go to Canaan and they stopped in Haran, at that time the whole family of Avraham Avinu went with him or was with him, and Avraham Avinu converted everybody to monotheism, and Avraham Avinu taught everybody the whole Torah. The Torah that he knew, he taught to them. As proof, the Ismach Moshe continues and brings the Ramban in the end of Parshas Noach on chapter 11, verse number 31, where the Ramban gives two different opinions of what happened to the family of Avraham Avinu. The first opinion of the Ramban is that Padan Aram is called Ever Anor, this is the name of the country, and the cities are called Kuta and Choron. And Terach came to Ur Kazdim with Avraham Avinu, and there he gave birth to Haran. Afterwards, they all left to the land of Canaan, but they stopped on the way in the city of Haran, and Nachor was always in Haran. That means that Nachor was together with Avraham Avinu after Avraham Avinu left Ur Kazdim. That's the first opinion of the Ramban. Then the second opinion of the Ramban is that everybody was born in Ur Kazdim, meaning Avraham, Nachor, and Haran were born in Ur Kazdim, and everybody went together to the land of Canaan, but they stopped in Haran and they lived in Haran together with Terach. And he brings a proof to that from the Pasuk, chapter 11, verse number 31, says, Vayikach Terach es Avram bnoi, Terach took Avram his son, Vesloit ben Haran ben bnoi, and Loit the son of Haran, his grandson, Vesara kalaso yeshes Avram bnoi, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, the wife of Avram, his son, Vayetzu itam, they went out with them from Ur Kasdim, Lolechas Arze Canaan, to go to the land of Canaan, Vayavoyu at Haran, and they came to Haran, Vayeshu Sham, and they resided there. The Ramban is bothered by the language that says Vayetzu itam Murkazim. He could have just said Vayetzu Murkazim, since we are talking about the people that's mentioned in the Pasuk, Terach, Lot, and Sarai and Avram, then could just said Vayetzu Murkazim, that they left Urkazim. What does it mean, Vayetzu itam, they left with them? Therefore, the Ramban says that the whole family left Urkazim, meaning the other brother Nachor also left Urkazim, and since he was together with Avram Avinu, then Avram Avinu taught him the whole Torah, and once Avram Avinu taught him the whole Torah, that's how Lavan knew the whole Torah. And the Yisfach Moshe continues, and he says that based on that, the Yisfach Moshe interpreted what it says, Arami Oived Avi, that Arami tried to destroy my father, interprets the verse differently. And he says that the verse means to say that Arami, because Lavan became the Ramein and he didn't act the proper way, therefore Avad Avi, he lost the right to be called my father. Meaning that Lavan was on a very high level when Avram left him, because Lavan learned the whole Torah with Avram Avinu and he was on a great level. But the fact that after Avram Avinu left, he became corrupted, therefore Avad Avi, he lost the right to be called our father. Because our fathers are only Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and not Lavan. Lavan was almost at that level, but because of the way he behaved, he lost the right of be calling Avi. Now we could understand, says the Yisrach Moshe, how Lavan is using the Torah to further his corruption. Meaning that according to the Chanukah Satorah, Lavan actually killed Besal in order to give an out to Rivka that she should be able to annul her wedding. And according to Rashi, Lavan used the Torah to try to delay the marriage between Rivka and Yitzchak. Either by telling Eliezer that she should stay a year, the same time that we give for a woman that's unmarried, in order to prepare herself for marriage, or that he wants to ask her to see if she wants to go. And Hashem Yisburach should help that this week that we read that Hashem blessed Avram Bakoil with everything, that Hashem should bless us also Bakoil with everything, and we should marry to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.